On this episode, we smoke the Abba Uvesian Heritage Robusto, talk a little bit about Uvesian cigars. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burn Line Podcast.
Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
And what's up, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you, as always, not live, from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Blanco Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania, USA, the only Blanco Cigar Lounge in North America. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm Angel El Fumo Solario.
Angel, you like my leisure suit today?
I do.
Pretty sharp, huh?
Look like you're ready to go to bed and go to a party at the same time.
Yes.
And you're also dressed appropriately because it looks warm.
Yeah, it's kind of my cigar smoking outfit. That's how I roll. We are smoking the Abbo. This is the Abbo Heritage Robusto, and it kind of dovetails with last week because we did our first Davidoff.
Yeah.
And Abbo is a Davidoff brand.
Yeah.
So we had mentioned last week, you know, Davidoff and their history, and they're like the high end brand, and then Abbo's like their mid tier brand.
Yeah.
And Camacho's like their low end brand.
Oh yeah.
Right. So that's kind of how the pricing and everything is structured for Davidoff. And I got to thinking, you know, I actually really like a lot of Abbo products.
Yeah.
And so we should smoke one. We haven't smoked one yet. So we are smoking the Abbo Heritage Robusto. And before we jump into the cut and light and all that, let's talk about the cigar and look at the presentation. So this is a 5x50 true Robusto, and you got yours unwrapped already.
Yep.
It comes in cello. The back of it, it's got the barcode for the retailer, which is super cool, as well as the Abbo logo kind of etched in there, and it tells you what it is.
Yeah.
It's got the perforated.
Dig that. That's two in a row.
Yeah. So that's a Davidoff thing,
looks
apparently. looks great.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, this is a beautiful cigar. Like
I think so.
It's modeled.
Yeah.
I think
it's gorgeous.
The oily, how oily it is.
I've got to move my gold bar. It's like reflecting light in my face. Can't, yeah.
Is that from Costco?
Yes, it's a Costco gold bar. Hashtag not sponsored. So it has got this sort of matte, it's kind of like a,
yours is different.
Mississippi River bank, but not Southern Mississippi River, like Ohio Valley. Yeah. There's a huge difference.
Mine looks like a oily,
totally
like
yours is oily. Mine is matte. I think mine looks better. Yours is mottled. Mine is not. Kind of similar to what we talked about with the Davidoff.
Yeah.
Where
the Churchill.
The quality control is not maybe where you'd expect it to be.
Right.
However, my take on that is I do not care. If I look in a cigar box and they all look differently on the outside, if the smoking experience is consistent and delicious.
Oh, yeah.
you know, because I'm not displaying them as a retailer. Now, if you're a retailer, that's kind of rough.
Yeah.
You know, you probably notice like Padrones, like if you take a box of naturals and you take the darkest one, and then you take a box of Maduros and you take the lightest one, they're basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at their leaves like a spectrum, from light to dark, and it's like they just cut a line, you know, like here's the naturals, here's the sun growing, you know, like, so, you can have some variants like this, and it can taste the same.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Has, you know, like that one's mottled. It was probably folded over onto itself, you know, while it was in the pillow.
Yeah.
That happens when it, you know, that makes it look like that, with those splotches like that. But anyway, it comes in this box. This box is gorgeous. Kind of matches the cigar. Like the tone looks like, I don't know, coffee that you've waved a creamer past. Not really,
yeah.
You know.
Very touch light.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, here are the cigars displayed inside. These price tags don't come on the cigars. That the retailer put those in place. These are on the shelf here at Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania, $11. And you can see the branding on the inside of the lid. Pretty typical, you know, just hinged yeah. lid, wooden box.
Very
attractive. Yes, extremely attractive. Like, so it's got the, you know, the brass hinges and clasp and the wood, nothing too special. On the front, though, you've got the Avo Uvesian name and seal. And then this sort of looks like
music sheet.
Yeah, a music sheet. And I don't think you can see on camera, mostly because of the lighting, but there's stamped musical notes in there. Yeah, I don't think you can see with the lighting. So they're just stamped in.
Yeah.
You know, there's no ink. It does have the quality guarantee over here. And on the back, it's got the Davidoff of Geneva, USA, blah, blah, note, and the Hecho a Mano en la República Dominica notation. But this is a gorgeous box. And then you open it up, you know, and it's got the, this is painted wood, by the way, inside the lid. It is not like a cardboard card mm-hmm. stuck in there. And then it's got like the notes right here.
Yeah.
It says intensity. It's got like a silhouette of Uvesian and like musical notes. And then it says, a song is reborn every time it's shared with someone else, Avo Uvesian. And then it says, together, Avo Uvesian, Hendrik Kellner, and the next generation of gifted cigar craftsmen developed this harmonious experience filled with tobacco tradition and experience and expertise. This full-bodied blend offers rich toasted notes of cocoa and spice with an unforgettable creamy finish. So how fucking cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
And it's got the embossed notes or engraved notes, yeah. whatever those are.
I don't know how to read music notes, but I'm pretty sure that's a chord.
Yeah.
Something an like actual that. Chord.
So, oh, now you can't see the hand. There we go. So, presentation, fucking awesome. Why don't we get these cut and lit? And so the backside of mine looks a little closer to yours, right? Mm-hmm. In that part right there.
Yeah.
But this part is way different, and it's matte. So you can see a little oil there.
Yeah. I'm not so sure, like, this wrapper looks like it's going to come apart at some point.
Well, we're going to find out.
Let's do it.
It is time for the official cutting. The official cutting is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobaccos are highlighted in the original Jacked cigar by Fat Boy Cigars. And don't forget to try the Fat Boy Cigars Boots on the Ground series. For every cigar that you purchase in this series, Fat Boy Cigars will donate $1 to charities benefiting our frontline heroes. Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to Fat Boy's world.
Well, I'm definitely there.
And I am going to... yeah, I'm getting there. I'm going to use my... No, I'm not. I'm going to use my Craftsman's Bench. So we're both using a open-ended
yeah.
double guillotine. All right. And as always, remind you to clip that cigar with authority, no limp-wristed. Cut it loud.
I'm not getting much dawdle on mine.
No, not much. Give it the old hand job. I didn't know which timepiece to wear with this outfit. So I wore my Bremont Supermarine S500 dive watch. This is actually, I think this is the best looking timepiece I have. Mm. It's just a work of art.
You didn't have a white one or a Lacoste to match?
No. Well, first of all, I wouldn't buy a Lacoste timepiece. I wear Lacoste clothing because they make good clothing. That cross-branding shit, fuck off. I'm getting a real one. That's like an Eddie Bauer expedition, you know?
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
No, fuck you. Eddie Bauer doesn't make cars.
Not even a, oh man, I just forgot the name. Don't worry about it.
All right, so I'm going to give it a cold draw. That seems about right. Of course, it's got raisins. I can't taste much else. A little leather in there. I don't taste any pepper on the cold draw.
little wood.
Yeah.
Not okay. Much. That's yeah.
I feel like the cold draw is just for fun. Yeah. For me, it's like involving all of the senses. You know, making this like an experience, but it has like nothing to do with how the cigar smokes usually. So, it's just for fun. It's like those fucking morons that like smell the wine cork. You know, like the server comes over and like, would you like to smell the cork, sir? And they're all like, oh, I smell notes of, no, dumb fuck. They're bringing it over so you can tell if the wine is corked. Like if you smell the cork and it smells like fucking like the bottom of your gym bag, that means the wine is corked and it's no good. Get a different bottle. You know, that's all you're smelling for. You cannot tell shit about that wine by smelling a goddamn cork that they shove in your nose. You know, you're full of shit. And people that have well-developed palates that actually do this stuff know you're full of shit. Like, you're making that up, you know?
Yeah. Hey, they're a wine sommelier. They know what the hell they're talking about, all right?
No, sommeliers don't do that. Because they know what you're smelling the cork for. It's just to know if the bottle... They call it corking your bottle. Yeah,
it's a self-identified sommelier, okay?
Yeah. I identify as one.
Yeah.
Just like I identify as a cigar expert, which I am sharing with you guys on Burnline Podcast. Jesus fuck, we gotta start smoking. So yeah. It is time for the official lighting of our Avo Heritage Robusto 5x50, retailing for $11 a stick here at Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania. And our official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious premium coffee from 2C Premium Coffee, featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world. 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium, morning made us. And I don't know if you saw the last email on the thread, but we are working towards a official blend coffee for cigar smokers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work on some stuff together. Yeah. So big shout out to 2C Premium.
Excited.
Just... You know, for the sake of our audience, we have two sponsors on the show. We've got Fat Boy Cigars and we have 2C Premium.
Yeah.
And we kind of picked them both.
Yeah.
Right? So 2C Premium, it started with Fat Boys Cigars. I tried this, you know, it's like a Toro.
Yeah.
For like $7. And it was a damn good stick. And I was like, okay. And so Nick... He was like, they're good people. You got to meet these guys. And, you know, husband and wife team up there in the Berg. And, you know, we asked them to support the show and vice versa because it's a fucking awesome product, local business, you know. And they actually sent us a care package for Christmas, Fat Boys did. And they put some 2C Premium in there.
Mm-hmm.
She's a businesswoman out in Berg as well.
Yep.
And they kind of crossed paths. And we tried this coffee and we never went back. I don't know if you remember, we had some episodes with like Cooper's Cask.
Yeah, I remember that. Those were good though.
And Merlin's and stuff like that. Good coffees. And then we got 2C and it's like...
That's the one.
Yeah, like it's really good coffee.
So, yeah, because I think that was what we tried first, what, right? Was the 6-bean or was it a different one?
The first one was 6-bean baller.
It was 16.
And then we did the, I forget which one, if it was the French Fadeaway next. But in any case, good we're smoking coffee. 2C Premium now. Yeah, both of them are value products. The 2C Premium, though, you know, coffee and good coffee is getting expensive. Like, cigars have always been expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So getting, you know, a price point
like
this for coffee. I mean, you had that what was it, the Blue Mountain Peaberry bullshit that I bought from Jamaica, and it was like $99 for the for the bag of coffee. You remember that?
I don't know if I do.
Yeah, maybe. And it's like, it wasn't better, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's fucking light these cigars. I am using my Johnny Midas gold bar.
From Costco.
Yes, my Costco gold bar. Sold out again. My favorite part is, you got, you know, these investment articles, and they're like, Investors warn this is not a good investment. Well, no shit. You can do the math on that.
Before I even keep going, what the hell?
Tar bubble.
That is wild. I've never had that, ever. Let me see if we can.
Yeah, you got a tar bubble right off the bat. That's not a good sign.
All right. I think it's all that oil?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get a picture of that.
As always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Clip with authority and toast with love. All right, we've got these lit up and going.
Oh, well, I'm about to be lit up. I had to take a picture because the camera wasn't getting doing it justice.
Yeah, I mean that's just a tar bubble. I mean, I've seen that before. Just be careful about sucking that flame in.
Yeah, I've never seen a tar bubble, to be honest, like on this, on a cigar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why I was like, what the hell?
If you want to see one, take a lit cigar and set it down till it goes out on its own.
Okay.
And then take your torch and jam it right there and turn it on.
Oh.
And it like forces the tar out. That's one of the reasons we say toasted, not roasted.
So roast the cigar just for an experiment.
Yeah. Roast the cigar for an experiment and immediately. Right. So what probably happened, my guess is there was an excess amount of oil that actually combusted. Gotcha. Which increased the heat. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, you're putting out a lot of fucking temperature with that particular lighter. I was using my soft flame single, soft flame butane, right?
Oh, did you get that thing that you said ordered in yet?
Oh, my DuPont side lighter? It is not here yet.
Okay. I was just gonna, that's why I was being using code, because I wasn't sure if that was a surprise or not for the show.
Oh. Was it? Did I just ruin a surprise?
I have no idea.
I thought I said it. Did I say it on the air?
No, you didn't.
I didn't?
No.
Oh. So ignore everything we just said. I have a new lighter coming.
All right. Yeah. Strike that from the
record.
Man, this is good. I taste the raisins. There's a nut in there.
Yeah. All right. So here is my initial take on the stick. First of all, I may have to clip it again.
Are you too tight?
I might be.
I'm actually good right now.
I might be. I'm going to see if it opens up a little bit. You know, I like a firm draw. Mm-hmm. But I might have just, you can see, I barely took any off the shoulder.
Okay.
I might have to clip it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I did more. Yeah, yeah.
Question? Yeah, I'm gonna risk it. I'm going to risk a second clip.
So what do you want to do with that one? Operator, or not operator, or...
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Like operator error, maybe?
Operator error? Yeah. Yeah, I would rather take a chance of cutting it twice than having a loose draw. I'm that fucking picky, so. And that's why I have a cigar podcast, because I'm really fucking picky, you know? Smoke output, I would say, is medium. The smoke, this is actually stinkier smoke. You can smell it in the air, in the atmosphere. This will get in your clothes. Smoke consistency, medium. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So, I don't know what probably comes to the forefront right now with the first few puffs is probably like a cedar.
Okay.
Like a cedar wood. Yeah, there's like a... it's almost like, you know, when you put a cinnamon raisin bagel in the toaster, like as the raisins toast, they have a slightly different smell. Mm-hmm. It's almost like cinnamon raisin bagel in the toaster.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. And we'll have to see, like it's the first eighth of an inch.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see how it develops.
It's not bad.
Mm.
I got a very tiny hint of chocolate. Very, very tiny. Not cocoa, but chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. There is some chocolate in there. So, suggestion of chocolate.
Yeah, suggestion, not like actual chocolate.
Yeah.
So like, there's a difference between cocoa and chocolate.
Yeah.
So I guess I could explain that real quick to like newbie or people that just don't know. So like chocolate is the refined version of cocoa. Because cocoa is like the seed and the powder.
Yeah.
Before it becomes chocolate. So,
and of course, chocolate has sugar in it.
Right, it has the sugar. And the cocoa is like more, a little bit more acrid is the term, or a little bit more bitter.
It's just bitter.
It's just bitter.
It's not bitter like on the sour side of bitter.
Right.
It's bitter on the, like, I don't know. I don't know what to compare it to. Gypsum. If you ever get like sheetrock dust in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's bitter like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
Now you know a little bit about our backgrounds. all right. So a couple of things. Mine is burning significantly hotter than I want it to.
Mine's actually pretty warm down the barrel.
Yeah. Like I'm all the way down by the band and it's like, whoa, that is warm.
There's a lot of heat in this bad boy.
Yeah. This is very hot. So this was actually rated a 91, which is pretty good cigar rating. I think that was Cigar Authority that ranked it 91. And so far so good. I would say that, like, as far as the presentation goes and everything, man, this is a fucking luxury stick. Like, yeah. It makes you feel like a badass. I mean, it makes me feel more like a badass. I don't really struggle with that generally from day to day.
Yeah. So you have a badass. I feel sorry for you.
Well, you're the one that's been checking it out. So
you just said it. You have your badass.
So we've got the gold foil, and it's matte gold. It's on the logo. It's on the band. It is fucking sharp. Now, I know I'm Johnny Midas, and I'm all about the gold, but this is really, like...
That's pretty cool.
It is, man. That, like, this is badass branding.
Yeah, for a simple really band, though, that must be expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the production run, you know, like how many of them you make.
Right.
You do have to pay for the dye up front. The Abba Uvesian Heritage is stamped in, right? So you can't reuse this band.
Right.
That's where secondary bands come in. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of Fuentes will have one band and then a secondary. Or like their, what is it, the Chateau Fuente, they just have the red band and then they have the colored ribbon on the foot.
Yep.
You know, like black for Sun Grown or Maduro and green for, I think green is natural and red is something. Yeah. But anyway, I think that this actually, both the box and the band and the cigar, I think this looks more luxury than the Davidoff that we smoked last week.
The Churchill. Yeah, because the Churchill, I mean, but it was like to the point luxury though.
No, for me, the Churchill was like a Rolls Royce sedan.
Okay.
You know, like you can buy one that's 20 years old and look just as much of a baller as one you bought yesterday because they haven't fucking changed.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that design.
That's how the Davidoff looked to me. This looks like a Mercedes, like a late model Mercedes, where it's like it's classic and elegant, but also you can tell like it's cutting edge.
Yeah.
Luxury.
I like it.
It just feels more luxurious to me.
Yeah, the two bands, yes, I agree. Yeah, like this is a very more beautiful, elegant band.
It's and the box.
Yeah, this has the AVO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the O is gold.
Yep, for Abba, which was the guy's name, Abba Uvesian, and you know, this is in a big contrast to General. With CAO. So we did the CAO Brasilia and we talked about Kano and how General just has dropped that legacy.
Right.
Which is okay because Osgener Cigars, I think, is is new. That's his son.
Right. He's got a couple cigars already hitting the streets.
Yeah. And so maybe there's some issues there with branding and copyright protection and stuff.
Yeah.
But I would think a history page paying homage to Kano would be much more respectful.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's like a third of your line,
right?
Or portfolio.
Whereas Davidoff bought the rights to bought Avo, and then his name, Avo Uvesian, first and last name, is right on the fucking box.
Yeah.
It's on the cigar band.
Yep.
It's got a quote from him in here. Yep. Like they're really honoring the heritage. So I think
that's
really
important. Cool. Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about who Avo was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I didn't teach me a Huskinage.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Another one. We are everywhere. But before that, let's jump into the socials. So you can reach us, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. have a few emails this week. We also are on Facebook, Instagram. I posted some stuff on Threads, like as a test, but Threads is kind of dead.
Yeah.
It's mostly just horrors. I don't know if that's my stream or everybody's experience.
I have no idea. Possibly.
That and stupid ass political comments from people that are too cool to be on Twitter X or whatever.
Sorry, to quote Mean Girls, it's not going to be a thing. Stop making it a thing.
Yeah, yeah, agree.
Yes.
But mostly Insta and Facebook, we keep up with those. Drop us a DM or email burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can check us out on linktree.com/burnlinepodcast.
Yep.
That has all of our links, including a one-touch email composition. And so going through some of the, oh, and of course, YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
YouTube has actually become our biggest channel.
Yeah, it actually has. Yeah.
For listening to the podcast.
I think it's easier to interact, honestly.
The only thing that sucks about YouTube is like, you pull it up on your phone and then, you know, you want to like drive somewhere and still listen, but not watch. If you turn your screen off, it pauses it.
Yeah.
Fuck you, YouTube. I bet if you pay for premium, it doesn't pause.
Yeah, it's a paywall. Like, dude, that is bull.
Dude, I agree, 100%. With all the fucking millions they're making, probably billions,
right? YouTube TV ad, and then the NFL thing now.
Yeah, fuck
like
you.
You tell me I have to pay $15 to be able to close the app and get
greedy
out of here.
Greedy bastard fucking corporation.
Yeah. Google.
Yeah. Anyway, oh shit.
Now we're gonna
post this on YouTube.
Yeah, shit.
Shout out, Google,
YouTube, we love you guys.
Yeah, for the AI algorithm non-human that's listening to this and deciding whether or not y'all can post comments. Anyway, so we had a couple of DMs and emails this week. Tobacconist tip of the week is actually coming from Brian on Facebook, who says, what do you think about dipping your cigars? Well, Brian, first of all, leave more detailed messages because I don't know what the fuck that means. But we are going to answer that on the Tobacconist Tip of the Week with Angel El Fumo Solorio right after this break. Don't go away. Angel Solorio. And we are back on Burnline Podcast, Uncommon Cigar Knowledge for the Common Cigar Smoker. You are listening to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas and El Fumo, the dynamic duo of cigar podcasting in our little dungeon room. We are smoking the Avo Heritage Robusto, this 5x50 powerhouse. I mean, so it's time for the Tobacconist Tip of the Week.
Yeah, so
Brian on Facebook, what do you think about dipping your cigars? What do you think, Mr. Certified Retail Tobacconist?
I think what he's talking about, like dipping, I've done it a couple times where you dip the head of your cigar into some whiskey, or like you can literally dab it on with your finger.
Oh, yeah. Instant infusion,
yeah,
type of thing. Like, I gotcha.
Yeah, it doesn't really do much. I mean, there's a little bit there. It definitely can change it a little bit. Opinion says that it doesn't, but you're putting a different thing on there that's strong in flavor. So I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've tasted it. I'm not saying it adds or takes away, but it's something you can do. Personal preference. It's your cigar. You paid for it. Do whatever the hell you want. So, and to that effect, I mean, fuck. You ever been to one of Francisco's rolling events? He fucking like right there, bro.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Like, so I got three hand-rolled sticks.
Yeah.
Actually, I got four. I got four hand-rolled sticks. Two of them I put away to age to see how they would be later. And then two of them I smoked fresh. Because your options when you have like a fresh rolled, like smoke it now. Because just like wine, there's that dead period.
Yep.
Like you can fresh pressed, you know, like right out of the thing, wine, you can drink, or you can let it age in a barrel.
Right.
But for a little stretch there, it sucks, right? Same thing with cigars. So One of them was regular, and the other one, I had some VSOP cognac.
Nice.
And this is what he did. All the way down.
Yep.
I mean, it was it was not dabbed on. It wasn't dipped the end in. It was fucking all the way down.
Right.
Soaked. And I lit it up, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Right there on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am not against doing that. One thing that I love about, you know, if you're talking about dipping your cigars, one of the things that I love about it is, you know, you can change your stick. So maybe you got a box of, you know, a more affordable, you know, like everyday smoke.
Yeah.
Right. So I can buy this box. It's only 110 bucks, you know, something like that. And then, you know, you're on day five and you're like, I want some variety. You know, it's not a bad cigar, but okay, well, yeah, take some fucking whiskey and just do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to affect the burn very much at all. As the cigar toasts, it evaporates off quickly.
Right.
Right. But it does leave some flavor on there.
Yeah.
A couple of things that I'm going to add to your tobacconist tip of the week. If you're going to dip it before you cut it.
Right.
Right. Definitely don't dip the cut head into your whiskey, because that liquid gets inside and then it's going to be kind of disastrous.
Yeah.
Just like if you get spit in there, and it almost always ends up tarring and stuff. So what you want to do is treat the cigar before you clip it and light it.
One thing that I've also done myself, and it actually works, not that it's like 100%, but I've gotten some budget cigars, put them in a piece of Tupper, put a shot, I forget what shot it was, Makers. Shot of Makers, put it in there, and I think I let it go for about a month. And I could taste a little bit of Makers in it. Like, I just infused them aromatically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they, and there's YouTube videos on that.
Right.
If you want to do your own aromatic thing on your cigars. I'm a big fan of, I used to get, you know, like these house sticks that were like $3 each.
Yeah, that's what I,
Yeah. And, you know, they're just not good. Like, they're not going to kill you, but they're not good. But they're perfect for practicing, like, that sort of thing with. And then you have something special and unique.
Yeah.
You know, you can share them with people, all of that. But there is no amount of infusion that will make up for shitty tobacco.
Right, no,
it's not good tobacco, it's just not good.
Right, so if you just want to try something new, experiment, because you can do a lot with cigars besides just smoke them, you know, try the little fun things here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks, Brian. I hope that answers your question. I'm sorry for being rough on you, but not really. You did write into the show, so... and he says at the bottom of his email, please do not read this on the show. Just kidding. All right. So that would be a lot of fucking editing.
Yeah.
All right. So, we are smoking the Abo Heritage Robusto. This is a true Robusto 5x50. The wrapper is Ecuadorian. They call it special sun-grown Habano. I don't know what makes it special. The binder and filler is Dominican Cuban seed. This did get a 91 rating from Cigar Authority. And it retails for $11 here at Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania, USA. Drop by and grab one of these off the shelf. Tell us what you think. And you can see my burn line is not awesome. That is following some flaw in the binder, not the wrapper.
You see that? Yeah.
Yeah. So the burn line is not great on it.
Mine's okay. It's a little weird.
Yeah, yours is pretty good. That's just like rustic natural.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't affected the smoke at all. I would say the strength is mid-full.
Yeah.
The body is mid-full. Smoke output is medium. Smoke consistency and mouthfeel is medium. There is a little bit of a velvety texture on the smoke, Doomy.
Okay.
Where it's kind of on the palate, it's a little fuzzy. And my draw is tight. It's perfect for me because Johnny Midas likes a firm draw, but I can't open it up any more than that. You can see I've clipped off the most.
Try the rolling method.
That I can do. Good, but just a, you know, word of advice to everybody out there that might want to try the cigar. It is a little bit of a tight draw. Your ash is holding together well. This looks like quality aged tobacco.
Almost what, inch and a quarter?
Yeah, like you're almost your first third.
Yeah.
That's your first third. And you haven't ashed yet. I have not ashed yet either. I have less ash because I'm running my mouth.
Yeah. You need to smoke some of it down.
Yeah, I need to smoke it down some.
Well, since I'm a little further, I am getting a little bit of cayenne. Right at the end of the retro.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I wasn't gonna peg it as cayenne pepper, but it is peppery.
It's peppery.
I can't peg it. Maybe cayenne is right. I've had some sinus issues, in case you can't tell by my voice. Yeah. So my palate's not really awesome today, to be honest with you. I do think that cedar is the main carrier. No. Are you tasting like maybe a little bit of leather on there?
I'm getting mostly, yeah, just the cedar and cayenne right now.
I mean, there's definitely a pepper component that kicked in that wasn't there before. I would say if I took like a cedar plank, mm-hmm. and then I took cocoa powder and rubbed it down it.
Okay.
And then a sprinkling of powdered sugar and ran it down it.
Okay.
And then I ground the powdered sugar and the cocoa powder into the cedar plank with a leather belt.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm tasting.
All right.
And then yes, like as I exhale, a little cigar fairy is like tossing cayenne at my face.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. The chocolate note that I described earlier kind of died down
yeah.
a little bit more.
Yeah. 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 I would say like it wasn't there in the first eighth, and then like the next quarter inch was like, oh, cocoa.
Yeah.
Right. Almost like, you know, not as sweet as hot cocoa, but like kind of that flavor.
Okay.
And then now like it's just a hint of cocoa powder. Yeah. Like the sweet is very muted. But there is some sweet. And also, it kind of ties in with the smoke texture I was talking about, but I would describe this as a creamy cigar.
Okay.
Even though it doesn't taste like cream per se.
Right.
It like feels creamy. Does that make sense?
Kind of like that smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
I am getting a little bit of leather at the tip of my tongue though.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where it is. You're exactly right. It's right on the tip of the tongue. Yeah.
It's a really good cigar though. Like,
this
tasty,
is
tasty.
Yeah, this is a good cigar.
So you're right, mid full. It's not punching me in the face.
No, no. Nope. And actually, I don't know if the strength will pick up, but
it hasn't for me yet. And I'm
it's almost mid strength.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Just a touch below.
Yeah. Yeah, delicious though. So let's talk a little bit about Abba Uvesian. He was born in 1926 in Beirut. Which, by the way, back in 1926, Beirut was in what country?
Oh, is that Turkey or Armenia?
No, it's Lebanon.
Lebanon, okay.
But in 1926, yeah, it's on the same continent. In 1926, it was French Lebanon.
Okay.
You know, like the territorialism, yeah. all of that.
So it was Lebanon.
Lebanon. Yes. It was Lebanon. Les Français, Lebanon. He passed away in 2017.
That is a long ass life,
yeah,
man.
Lived to a ripe old age, 90 something, 91, in Orlando. And near the end of his life, he was known affectionately as the man in the white Brioni suit. This guy had fucking style. I mean, this guy
that
had fucking style.
It. That
yeah.
explains a lot.
He was famous for his like flat brimmed straw hat that he wore, and it's on the silhouette that they put here inside the lid of the box.
Yeah.
So he was an Armenian American jazz pianist and composer.
Right.
And so that's why there's notes pressed into the box here. Yeah. Why they have a, you know, the chord here and the picture of him playing his instrument, the silhouette there. And he immigrated to the United States. Now, he was born into a family of musicians. Mother was a singer, father was a composer, conductor for a symphony orchestra. And so he just kind of, you know, followed that. So as a young man, he joined a group called the Lebanon Boys, and they were jazz musicians, and they got a contract to play at a hotel in Baghdad.
Nice.
For a year, so they did that, and then from there they got a contract to perform at a hotel in Iran. Now, if you don't know your history, before the CIA and the United States interfered in Iran and did our, you know, little social engineering experiments across the globe, Iran was up and coming. Lebanon was like Las Vegas of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic place to go.
Dude, the Middle East was freaking rich with culture, and then we came it was and rich fucked with culture. Up.
Yeah. It really was. Well, you know, like the Ottomans fucked it up first. So
right. But then we just made it worse. We compounded it.
And well, and after World War II, right. You know, we chopped up all the land and everything. You know, we had to make these international rules so that we wouldn't, you know, like nuke the world as capitalism and communism fought it out across the globe, you know. But back then, you know, in the 30s and 40s, like right. Iran was a great place to be. Yeah. And so was Baghdad.
Right? Yeah, man. Yes. Like,
that was you'd go there on vacation. You know, for culture.
Not now.
not now, no. So Abo received an invitation from Shah Pahlavi to perform at his palace. So Abo spoke Farsi.
Nice.
Which really helped because that's like a common language.
Yeah, in that area.
Yeah. So basically the Shah was trying to dance the jitterbug and Abo told him, "You're not doing it right. Let me show you how."
Damn.
And so
that's a flex.
Yeah, it's a flex. So the Shah was like, okay, you know, and became like the private pianist for the Shah. And then, you know, it was one of those things where he had this contract at this hotel. Mm-hmm. Well, so the Shah like either owned or bought the hotel so that Abo could be his personal musician.
He probably
owned it.
Yeah. Or if he didn't, he's like, yeah, this is mine now.
Yeah. So the that was like his early career. And then in 1947, which makes sense if you think about World War II, he immigrated to the United States. And so, you know, I kind of like reading between the lines, I'm like, shit was going down everywhere. There wasn't that much of World War II, you know, in Baghdad.
No. We're mostly talking about the Mediterranean and Northern Africa area.
Yeah, like I think we might have rolled some tanks through to get to somewhere right. else, but you know, down
combat,
there,
yeah.
Yeah, like all of Saudi Arabia is a peninsula basically.
Right.
Nobody cared about that.
Nope.
And then you know, Iraq and Iran right. is right here. It just wasn't in the way.
Right.
Of stuff.
The only thing that like really brought anybody there was the Suez and then obviously military just movement. It wasn't
right.
much of
yeah, the Mediterranean Sea and yeah. then the Red Sea. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Suez Canal. So I'm reading between the lines here. I don't know. But I think by 1947, Abo realized two things. Number one, the United States is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, the West is going to win. And number two, this part of the world is probably going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And so he immigrated to the United States, New York, and went to Juilliard.
Nice.
Right. So yeah, like you gotta be
real quick, check out that Blue Grace book.
That's really interesting. That's from oil.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's where the blue comes from.
It's like a Honda Civic on a nice summer day.
Yeah.
Blue smoke out the tailpipe.
Yeah, a lot of oil around your
body. Yeah.
Mine looks much more like a normal cigar. You do have excess oil.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening, but hey.
Yeah. Abo was drafted into the Korean War, went through infantry training, but he was so good at music that the officers pulled him out. They're like, "We're not going to get this guy fucking shot in Korea."
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And so he joined like the officers' club band
nice.
Or whatever, and he would perform
yeah.
For the military. So, and then he was honorably discharged in 52.
Cool.
So he did serve his country, but as a musician. And then after that, he spent, you know, some time with his father-in-law designing jewelry. Hmm. So he had a portfolio of things he was doing, very typical.
Oh, there
And there goes the ash. Okay, yeah, can you pick that up?
Yeah.
What a nice ash. Hold it up where that camera can see it. It is a little powdery.
It's pretty solid, though.
Oh, shit. Was solid. Drops it in the retail box. Way to go, Alfuma.
Yep.
We talked about this with CAO, right? Like, he had multiple businesses mm-hmm. as well. So
multiple.
You know, Armenian Americans, which is my heritage and my mother's side, you know, well known for education. You know, like we said, he went to Juilliard, being merchants, you know, selling stuff, building businesses. And just like CAO, you know, he was making money and fame and success before cigars.
That's right.
Now, his father-in-law, basically, they went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
They were based out of Puerto Rico. By the way, huge tax benefits for living in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was true back then or not, but it was it would have been a super shrewd move nowadays. And he did some performing there as well at the Palmas del Mar resort. By the way, Uvesian claims to have written the music for Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night song. So that song is credited to Burt Kempfert.
Okay.
But basically, Uvesian had a song called Broken Guitar that was the same song.
Okay.
You know, no lyrics. He was not a lyricist. You know, he was a musician. Sinatra liked the melody, asked for the lyrics to be changed, and Sinatra recorded it with somebody else, one of his guys. So, you know, there's no, like, proof, per se, of that, but right. I feel like somebody of his stature wouldn't make something like that up.
Right.
He didn't need to, you know. And, of course, there is the fact that we can establish that Uvesian sent the music to Kempfert to be published in Germany before Sinatra recorded.
Oh, shit.
So, to me, you know, it's not a smoking gun, but
right.
it definitely backs up his claim there. Uvesian claims that Kempfert wrote him a letter recognizing that it was Uvesian's work.
Hmm.
Never seen the letter. I don't know if it exists or not.
Hmm.
So this is where it gets interesting. So we said he was born in 27, right? Or 26.
Six.
Yeah. In 1983.
Okay.
Right. So that's what, he's 60 almost?
No.
Late 50s?
50s, yeah.
Yeah. So he's in his mid to late 50s. He had a daughter, Karen, and he went to Switzerland for her christening. And they gave him a Cuban cigar.
Oh.
So, of course, you know, Switzerland is still to this day like a centerpiece for importing Cuban cigars into Europe.
Yeah.
Geneva, which is where Davidoff is headquartered. And he wasn't happy with the price. So typical, you know, Armenian businessman is like, this is an awesome cigar. It's too expensive. Right? And so he started talking with his friend about we should make our own. And so he went to the Dominican Republic and spent 2 years looking for a production facility that kind of met what he was looking for.
Okay.
So if you remember, well, you don't remember. I don't even really remember. But early 80s, you know, the cigar boom hadn't happened yet.
Okay.
Cigar, you know, there was Cubans and then there was Jamaicans actually got popular in the a little later in the 80s. But it wasn't what it was. But the whole Sandinistas thing, like Nicaragua was not importing cigars to the U.S.
No.
It was like a civil war. We interfered again.
We didn't do that.
That's a conspiracy theory. Anyway, so basically he hooked up with Hendrik Kellner and purchased the production facility from Kellner and partnered with him. It was Michael Rue. They advised Avo to use attractive packaging.
Okay.
So if you remember, the Cubans at the time, and to this day, they had very simple bands.
Yeah.
Right? And Davidoff played off of that with the Churchill we smoked last week. But to this day, like a Monte Cristo is just like a strip with a circle.
Right, and then a number.
Yeah. Cohiba is the only one that's really like fucking going all out on their bands and stuff.
Blue band, the dot.
Just even the main band, super fancy. But some of that is to deter counterfeiting. So they've got holograms and
there's a shit ton of Cohiba counterfeits. Do not pay $45 for a Cohiba at Niagara Falls
or anywhere.
Fair warning.
Yeah, like you can't get a Cohiba for that. So Avo sold 120,000 cigars the first year, which, you know, is not a lot, but it's not a little.
No.
By the third year he had sold over 750,000. And so, like everything else Avo touched, this kind of turned to gold. I feel a kindred spirit here. And in 1995, so we're talking 12 years later, Davidoff paid Avo Uvesian an estimated $10 million. This is in 95.
That's a lot of dough for 95.
For the rights to distribute Avo. That is a lot of fucking money
yeah.
in 95. In 96, more than 2 million were sold. So basically, you know, it was like 86 when yeah. they started. And by 89, he had sold 750,000.
Yeah.
And then by 95, he sold the Davidoff, and in 96 sold 2 million. So, you know, back then, especially, like the cigar boom was just happening.
Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't even count in 95.
Right. Right. So that's kind of about Avo Uvesian.
That is a storied life.
Yes. He married Marie Sahakian, another Armenian, and actually while performing at the Catskill in the Catskill Mountains
okay.
in 51. Right?
Nice.
So got married fairly young. Had three children, Jeffrey, Robert, Ronnie, and then he got divorced. And after that's when he moved to Puerto Rico. Yeah. And then he eventually met and married his second wife, Karen, or his second wife and had a daughter, Karen. So those are his four. And actually, Ronnie, his youngest son from his first marriage, passed away before Avo.
That's a shame.
It's a shame, but also when you live to be 91, that can happen.
Yeah, that's you know? Crazy.
Yeah. So that's Avo Uvesian, and big shout out to Davidoff for preserving that heritage.
Hell yeah.
In the Avo line. You know, they've got his name right on the box. You know, they've got a silhouette, a quote from him, the notes that are they're pressed in. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, they're not, like embossed. Is that the right word? Maybe?
No, embossed is sticking out, but they're not engraved because right. they're not carved in. They just took a stamp and pressed.
Yeah. Right?
Super cool looking. Really super cool. So I'm through my first third. You're getting ready to start on your final third.
Third.
And I think it is time for a break when we come back.
All right.
We will do our cigar news of the week.
All right.
Keep your dial locked in to Burnline Podcast.
Do they have dials? It's touchscreens.
Shut up. What's up, everybody? Johnny Midas here with my daily smoke of the week. I am smoking the Grey Cliff 1666, coming in at under $6. This is a fantastic stick for daily enjoyment. This cigar is a 6x50 Turo, and it features an oily Costa Rican Maduro wrapper, which is wrapped around Honduran, Dominican, and Nicaraguan fillers. This is a mid-full, I would say, with black pepper, chocolate, cedar, and pretty nice, robust, flavorful cigar for people that like rich, dark, and slightly strong cigars. Again, coming in at a price point under $6. This is my daily smoke pick of the week for Burnline Podcast.
I'm getting more nuttiness and cocoa out of this now. This is fucking good, dude.
And we are back on Burnline Podcast with your cigar news of the week. Take it away, El Fumo.
All right, so some news. Doesn't affect us, but it's finally affecting them. So the price of Cuban cigars are going up. Not for us, they already went up, but domestically in Cuba, prices are going up. But I'll tell you what, for us, that would be a great price, but obviously not for them. Like $1.25 for 20 cigars, let's go.
$1.25
yeah.
for 20 cigars
yep.
in Cuba.
In Cuba.
For
but
Cuba.
Their brand name, their brands, not like Cohiba or...
Oh, sure, yeah, but...
Yeah.
Oh, because the state sets the prices.
Right.
Fucking... Okay.
So yeah. that's so, not terrible, man.
No comment on communism. Go ahead.
And then, like, that's freaking awesome. But it sucks for them, obviously, because I don't know what their weekly wage or monthly wage is for them, but I can't imagine that's maybe, like,
a day's... I don't know, but I can tell you it's not enough to afford a new car.
No.
That's all right. Definitely not. Not for us in America either these days.
Yeah. All right. And for our... Romeo and Julieta fans, especially our Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, residents. Yeah, yeah.
Let's go. So Altidus is partnering with the Kentucky Derby and making a Romeo Julieta 1875 run for the roses.
Yes. Jay would love that. Yeah. I'm fucking... All right, I got to put an alert out. I'm buying that.
Okay.
I am totally buying that one.
So it is the 150th run. So this is why it's the... This is why they're making this partnership. It's special. So it might be a little pricey. It's going to... Well, it's not too bad. It's 2,000 boxes that they're going to make total.
Yeah.
There's a 6x50 that's going to be $20 a stick and 7x50 for $25 a stick.
Okay, so overpriced, but not terrible. I mean,
no, they're still big cigars though. 6x50
and 7x50. If you're collecting them,
yeah,
yeah, I can see doing that as a collector. So yeah, definitely for anybody that's a Kentucky Derby fan, and we know Jay is like,
right,
you know, that's his thing. So, and Romeo Julieta is his cigar.
So here's the cool thing: they're currently on sale right now. First. In Louisville, I'm pretty sure they're outside of Louisville too, but there's one down the street at Liquor Barn, out of all places. They're available right now.
In Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
Sweet.
Like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Just walk into Liquor Barn and get yourself
a fucking expensive cigar.
Cigar, yeah.
although, you know, Romeo is one of the rare, like, you know, they took the Cuban brand. They don't make it in Cuba anymore.
Right.
It's owned by a big-ass company, Altadis. They're one of the rare ones that... They actually have some pretty good sticks.
Yeah, there's a couple.
And some of them are reasonably priced.
Yeah. That last one you gave me, the Book of Love, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That was really good, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of Romeo and Julieta. There's like two sticks, the Book of Love, and then it's not around anymore.
I like the 1875.
Yeah.
It's good.
The 505 isn't around anymore. I don't know if you ever got a chance to smoke that. That was a great fucking stick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Don't they have an 1875 Nicaragua?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, that one's pretty good. They're a little on the steep side, I think, but they're not like Monte Cristo.
Yep.
Monte Cristos are just, they're overpriced for what I consider to be just medium cigars. They're just okay. Like a lot of the big, you know, products. All right, what else have we got in news?
So AVO related, AVO is releasing the AVO Seasons.
Year of the Dragon.
No. AVO Seasons Limited Edition 2023 Fall. It is going to... I don't know why I can't pronounce it. Diadema? The Diadema?
Yeah, Diadema.
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 Sure.
So, a play on Avo's jewelry background.
Yep. Isn't Diadema a Vitola?
I'm not sure.
I think that's a Vitola. I'm going to look that up while you keep talking.
Yeah, it's a Vitola. Diadema Vitola.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a 6 5/8 by 50. Pretty affordable, 18 a stick.
For a special edition, that's kind of normal nowadays.
And that's a big stick, 6 by 5/8.
Yeah.
About 4,000 boxes, 10 a stick. Or, yeah, 10 sticks a box. So that's not bad. Look at that. That's a gorgeous looking stick.
Yeah, I was going to say, a Diadema is like tapered on both ends.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures right now.
Dude, that is gorgeous. I like that Vitola.
It's not as sharp as a Torpedo. It's a little blunter, but it's not a Bellicoso.
Yeah.
A lot of them that I've seen is almost like a Bellicoso on the foot and a Torpedo on the head.
Yeah.
It's called Diadema.
So the wrapper is going to be a Mexican San Andres Maduro.
Interesting. Okay.
And then binder and filler are from the DR. So it's Dominican Republic. So I think that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're finally hitting the streets. So...
Nice.
All right. And then the last one. Don Julio is releasing. Are you ready for this one?
Year of the Dragon?
Year of the Dragon.
Oh, my God. Another. What are we up to, like, nine? 9 years? Year of the Dragons? Years of the Dragon?
Yep. And so nothing really special. That is one of the coolest boxes, though, so far related to Year of the Dragon.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I don't like. I know this sounds like, oh, yeah, that's cool as shit. That is cool as shit.
That is like a chest. That's not even a box. That looks like, awesome. What, 8-inch tall, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, there's not really scale on that.
No, but I'm going to assume almost 8 inches, maybe 10.
But what I don't like is the special edition cigars that come in the flat box where all the cigars are side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't reuse the box. Like, it looks pretty, but it's hard to display. You can't use it for anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's a humidor, not the box. But this is a special edition humidor. They sold Johnny Midas price tag for this, and it comes with and 80 cigars, and that's a humidor. Do you want to guess maybe the price?
180 cigars, special edition Year of the Dragon humidor, and it's Don Julio.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be expensive like a Fuente. You know, Fuente would be like 70 grand. 25,000.
Nope, 65.
Jesus, so I was wrong. That is fucking, that's like Fuente prices.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. And to mark the Year of the Dragon, just constant Year of the Dragon, I got you a Year of the Dragon pen for your note-taking.
Oh, that is so sweet. Look at that. Got a little dragon pen. It writes nice.
Yeah.
Year of the Dragon.
So you have to use that for a year now.
Yes. Until what's next year?
I don't know.
Year of the Rat?
I actually don't know their calendar.
Sweet. Thanks for the pen.
Yeah.
Very Johnny Midas. Too bad it's not gold.
Yeah.
All right. Any more cigar news of the week?
No, not really. Nothing important.
Good deal. Well, I think it is time to rank this cigar. Now, I've been talking a lot, so I'm like halfway through.
Yeah, go
ready
for
to start my final third. You're in your final third.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was my fault.
Definitely picking up a little more cream, a little more pepper, a little more nuttiness.
Yeah. All right, let's do the next test.
Oh yeah, the band test. Will it come off?
Oh my god.
You smoked it too close. You're gonna take the
it's glued on.
Yeah, it's glued on.
I don't like that.
Is it grabbing your wrapper?
No, it's not, but it's grabbing itself.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. All right,
let me do mine. Yeah.
It wasn't terribly hard, but it wasn't easy.
The old band test. Get the corner of my thumb under. It is glue though.
Yeah.
It came off fine. Mine came off great.
Yeah, yours came off pretty good.
Okay, good.
I didn't lose any wrappers, so we're good there. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I don't know why that's not a bigger thing in the industry. Like, you have to take the band off, you know?
Yeah.
You might as well make it easy.
I think I'm going to say it again.
Fruit pectin
needs to be the standard.
Yeah.
I mean, it holds well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a tasty cigar. I like it.
Yeah.
Would smoke again.
Yeah, definitely. Not a bad morning smoke either, breakfast cigar.
Yeah, I think if you're experienced.
Yes.
I was going to say, I'm getting a little buzz. Like, it's a little stronger, particularly, like, compared to the flavor profile. Like,
okay.
It tastes kind of creamy and mid-bodied.
Mm-hmm.
I would say mid-full. Mid-full strength, mid-full body.
Yeah.
The strength was almost mid starting out. It's picked up.
Yeah, it's not a punch in the face, so it's great. I like it.
Yeah.
I guess as a seasoned smoker, it's definitely a good morning cigar.
Yeah, I think you could, for sure. So we are smoking the Abo Heritage Robusto 5x50, and it has a Dominican Cuban seed binder and filler with Ecuadorian Habano sun-grown wrapper. It has a really nice dark hue to it. Probably has to do with the amount of aging that went in.
Yeah.
And I think from the ashes that we got, you know, this is pretty high quality.
Yeah, I got aged as well.
Aged tobacco.
Yeah. If that ash is like bright white, that's a good sign of quality there.
Yeah. And it retails for $11 here at Union Cigar Hanover, so pretty well priced. I mean, an $11 Robusto, that's...
Right, it's right. Avo, it's a Davidoff. So
it's normal, though. Like, 11 is normal for a Robusto nowadays.
Yeah, 5 years ago, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, $9 would be better. But why don't we save that for the ranking, which we are about to do... on this Abo Heritage Robusto. Let's start with presentation.
Yep. So the presentation, man, it was just elegant. The box to the band to the history. I want to give it a 9.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really just homage to Abo.
I think that if these were not cello-wrapped, I would give it a 10.
I'm glad they are cello-wrapped.
Well, I'm always glad that my retail cigars are cello-wrapped.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who's in the, you know, sneezing on them, whatever.
Or some asshole drops ash on them.
Or some asshole drops ash on them. Yeah. And only because the wrapper is beautiful and matches the box. If there was no cello with all the lights glaring off it and stuff, you know. Absolutely beautiful presentation. I love the pressed in notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the rich heritage and the color scheme is fucking gorgeous. You know, this like turquoise. And then I don't know if you noticed on the band, it's got this This is a mauve color, like a matte plum.
Yep.
Just ties it all together. It's gorgeous. And of course, we've been saying it all show, but in case you didn't know, it is Avo. And that was the guy's first name. So it is not AVO,
yeah,
like CAO.
Yep.
It's Avo. I think 9 for presentation, absolutely knocked it out of the park. And the box and the cigar, I mean, this is much better, I think,
yeah,
and luxurious presentation,
yeah,
than the
Davidoff
that we smoked last week. Despite Avo being their like mid-tier brand. And then price at $11 for a 5x50 Robusto.
Yeah. I'm going to give it an 8. I think it should be like maybe a dollar or two cheaper, but mm-hmm, it just tracks with today's economy. So it's not terrible. Maybe for a starter, it's going to be off-putting, you know, because 11, mm-hmm, there's a lot to compete with. But if I know what this is, yeah, I don't mind picking it up
for 11. Yeah, I had an 8 as well. I think $11 for a Robusto is kind of normal nowadays.
Yeah.
But you are getting a fantastic smoke,
yeah,
for that. This is a really good smoke. And, you know, we're an hour in. We've been doing a lot of talking, but this is an hour, I would say an hour smoke.
Yeah.
For if you're just smoking the cigar.
I mean, I've been chiefing it more than you have, and
yeah,
I'm still here.
Yeah. You still got an inch and a half left.
Yeah, that's a good.
Well, 20. Call it an inch of smoking.
Right.
If you get down to the nub. So, reasonable value.
Yeah.
Right. And then let's talk about construction. So I've got a few notes there.
Okay.
First thing I noticed was in terms of smokeability, et cetera, nothing wrong with the construction.
No.
There was no wrapper flaking off. There was this, the cap right here, despite my double cut, just stayed sealed,
yeah,
on both of ours. You were worried about the wrapper coming,
yeah,
apart when you lit up. It didn't. So that's all the good stuff.
Yeah.
The bad stuff, I have as much as I can clip off of this,
mm-hmm,
and to me it's the perfect draw, but Johnny Midas likes a firm draw.
Yep.
For people that like a looser draw, it's a little too tightly packed. Just a little. You know, it would probably get into the annoying territory for people that like Gordos.
Yeah.
You know? So word of caution there. And then there was some issues with, like, you know, yours looked like a different cigar than,
yeah,
mine. So that's like a quality control thing. You know, the leaves just don't match.
Yes.
Other than that, like, and yours was like shiny and oily, and mine was like matte and fuzzy, like totally different.
Yeah, most of them look just like yours, and I just got the odd one of the bunch.
Yeah, but you can see like that one's also modeled. So it's throughout the box. But yeah, so I don't know. I think I'd give it an 8 for construction.
I agree.
You know, like it's pretty good. It didn't really affect the smokeability, but I also don't like a cigar where I'm like worried about it either.
Right.
Even though it didn't sort of come to fruition. And then it does get reasonable marks for the band coming off,
mm-hmm,
you know. All right. So that brings us to flavor. So really interesting sort of concoction here. Basically, I think that sort of a sweet cedar is like the main carrier note for me. There's some subtle spice in there. I'm not sure what it is. You know, there was a season in there where it was a little peppery.
Yeah.
Creamy toast.
I said I got chocolate out of it.
Yeah, a little cocoa, a little leather and apple.
Yep.
And it did change flavors as we went through. So I think it was super enjoyable. And I was just telling you during the break, like, for $11, man, I'm,
yeah,
going to buy this again.
Yeah.
It's a,
yeah,
good,
yeah,
smoke.
It's got a lot of characteristics. And since I'm in the final third, you're almost there. There's a nutty component to it now, a little,
mm-hmm,
bit more nuttier. I'm not sure if it's like an almond or like a chocolate. It's right in between.
I don't know. To me, you know, I'm not quite caught up to you yet,
mm-hmm,
but the nut that I'm getting is like a green pine nut.
Okay.
Or possibly pumpkin seed. But not like roasted with salt pumpkin seed.
Okay.
But definitely a little nutty, seedy flavor there. All right, what do you have for flavor?
I want to give it a 9, just because it
got
had
a 9.
Yeah, it had every third had a different component to it. And that's pretty cool. Especially like if you're spending $11 on a small stick like a Robusta like this, mm-hmm. and to get that kind of characteristics out of it, hell yeah. That's definitely worth the money.
Yeah, I think so. I had an 8 for flavor, so real close on flavor as well. I think that you know, any cigar smoker is going to appreciate this cigar.
Right.
This is one of those rare cigars where it might not be in your wheelhouse, but anybody that smokes cigars is going to appreciate it.
Yep.
Because it has nice, subtle flavors, and it changes, so it keeps your attention.
Yeah. You know?
And that brings us to experience. So, of course, we are in the hot box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made. And two guys that know cigars were like, isolated. Obviously, our level of enjoyment is as high as it can be. We did that on purpose. But sort of a use case for it. I don't think that this is something I would do anything with. Maybe like grilling or something.
Lounge cigar.
Yeah, it's like a lounge cigar, relax on the back porch cigar.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be walking the dog, mowing the lawn, fishing,
right.
anything like that with this cigar. It is a little too strong for that, I think.
Yeah.
And at $11, it's a little too expensive for
right.
me. I'm not going to risk dropping it into the water, reeling in my largemouth bass. Not a celebration cigar, but I'll tell you what, it is a gift cigar. Like, this is a gorgeous fucking stick.
I would say maybe like a early smoke could probably get into it.
Yeah, I think so. Like, this is accessible for folks that are not really far along in their journey.
Right.
Maybe not something I would give to a first-time smoker.
Right.
But definitely accessible.
Not a bad beginner.
And the price point is accessible as well.
Right.
So what do you have for experience?
I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I just had a great time with the cigar. We're in the right setting.
Mm-hmm. I had an 8 for experience as well. Yeah, great experience. And I mean, if you're a cigar smoker, this is a cigar.
Yeah.
Like, go smoke this. I think you're going to enjoy it. And I will tell you something that, you know, added to the experience was the heritage.
Yeah.
You know, and then reading about Uvesia. Now, I know about Abo before
mm-hmm.
even smoking cigars because, you know, the Armenian connection. You know, so we always talk about like Coach Turk and, you know, all the famous Armenians. But you know, that rich history with the travel and,
yeah.
you know, we got Baghdad and Iran and, you know, Puerto Rico and all of that.
Just everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Real musician life, you know? And I just think that added to the experience. And so, you know, again, a shout out to Davidoff for preserving that heritage
oh,
and
yeah.
also pick on General again for not preserving CAO's heritage. Right. Like I said, there might be some kind of copyright dispute or something there.
Yeah.
With, what is it, Osgener Family Cigars?
Yeah.
yeah.
It's his son.
Yeah. So there, he's preserving the heritage.
Yeah, he is.
You know.
I'm glad he decided to jump back in it, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And that brings the total score of this Abo Heritage Robusto 242. Great smoke. Some other similar Abos. There's the classic.
Okay.
And that has like a natural wrapper, I think. And then there's the Fogato, which is named after something in the music world as well. So it keeps that sort of heritage going. And that's it. The Abo Heritage Robusto 5x50 reviewed here on Burnline Podcast, coming in at a total score of 42. So pretty good smoke. $11 retail here at Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania, USA. Stop by and grab you a stick. Tell them that Johnny Midas sent you. Have a great week.